that he has offered to us and given freely to us as a believer. And the grace of the Lord not only saves us, but it sustains us. And one day will carry us to heaven. Had a good service this past Sunday night at the Calvary Baptist Church there in Cadiz, Kentucky. And we enjoyed their fellowship and the preaching, the singing, and all the things that was involved in that. I enjoyed being able to give them a message along the line, pretty much what I'm going to give you tonight. It's not the same message, but it's on the same subject. They are doing the same thing in the month of March as we are. They're emphasizing missions, and they're using pastors and missionaries. And so I was glad I was able to go and be with them this this past Sunday. And after the service, they had had a baptism, and so it's always a joy to see people being baptized. And then they had fellowship after that, and we almost ate too long because it snowed hard on the way home, and there's a lot of heavy snow, but we didn't have any trouble. We thank the Lord for that. Sharon had some trouble. She gets nervous with my driving, but I didn't have any trouble at all. I kept running off the road. That was her problem. But when you can't see which line you're on, that's pretty bad. But we didn't have any problem as far as the road. Didn't have anything on the road until we got to Morton's Gap. And then it began to get a little slushy, and saw one car on the in the ditch right across from the mall. And so, but we didn't have any problem. We thank the Lord for that and enjoyed the fellowship with God's people there. In Cadiz. The pastor's been there, I think he said it'd be 2 years this coming, two or three months down the road. He and I went to high school together and worked at the same grocery store together. And I had an old picture, and I made a copy of it and give it to him. He said, wonder who made that? I said, I have no idea. I said, we had a whole lot less on us, and we looked taller because we were skinnier. But we had a good time Sunday night, and he's doing a good job there, and I appreciate his faithfulness. And so thank the Lord. I pray they'll have a good meeting this month like we're having, and they involved in worldwide evangelism, and thank the Lord for every church that is involved in that. Tonight, if you would take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 9. Familiar verses when it comes to missions. We always read verses, and I usually try to bring these type of messages a few Sundays before our Faith Promise Sunday. But since I'm not preaching on Sundays here in March, and I thought I'd try to do a couple sermons on Wednesday night and just get our minds and thoughts focused upon the telling the world about Jesus Christ. If we do not tell, if the child of God does not be a witness for the Lord, then the Lord has no voice. He doesn't write in the clouds. He doesn't send down visions. He doesn't do any of those things. He doesn't even add to his word. All that we have is the word of God and someone to speak that to someone else. And so tonight I'm going to read in Matthew chapter number 9 and then also in John chapter number 4. And it won't be anything new. It's something that we've gone over many, many times down through the years. But it's good to recall it and have it brought to our attention time after time. Matthew chapter number 9, and we'll read verse number 35 through 38. Matthew 9, 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." There's some good wording there, some things that we need to mention just in passing. You'll notice that he talks about the harvest, and that's pretty much what we'll be dealing with tonight. And it's his harvest. It's not our harvest. It's not somebody else's. The harvest that the Lord is talking about here is the harvest that God has presented to this world, that they need to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And he said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest. So tonight I want to deal with a little bit about the Lord of the harvest, his claim, and then the reason that we have to have the Lord of the harvest. And we'll look at two main directions tonight. So he says, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth. And I've mentioned this many times, the word there, send, means literally to thrust in. It means to push into the harvest. And sometimes the Lord has to do that to individuals to make them get involved in the work of the Lord. Sometimes he has to thrust them in. And so it tells us here that their labors are few. The harvest is truly plenteous. Now turn over, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. In John chapter number 4, another very familiar verse of Scripture when it comes to missions, John chapter 4, verse number 35. And it deals with the same subject matter as what we read in Matthew, and it's dealing with the harvest. Verse number 35, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. That first statement there in verse number 35 is a question. He is really asking them, don't you say that there's 4 months till harvest? Because they were talking about I'm sure they were thinking about the physical harvest. We think about harvest in the fall, and a farmer will put his seed in the ground, and he'll wait 3 or 4 months for harvest. And he'll wait till that time he can gather in that which he has planted, and hoping that there'll be a plenteous harvest, and wanting, of course, always to have more than you put in. And so the Lord says here, don't you ask? And he says, verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Isn't that what everyone says? But the Lord says, let me tell you something different. He says here to them, he said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. That means they were ready for harvest. And so tonight I want to deal a little bit about the harvest and the Lord of the harvest and the people that are involved in this harvest. Jesus saw the multitudes here as only God could see them. He saw them lost. We look upon the multitudes and we don't know what condition they have in their life. We don't know if we go to an area where there's a lot of people milling around. We have no idea who is a Christian and who is not a Christian. But when the Lord looked upon the multitude, he knew exactly what their need was. He knew exactly that they were a needy people. He knew that they were part of that harvest that was already white. It was that part of that harvest that if they didn't gather it in quickly, then that harvest would be lost and there would be no recouping or regathering of that. And so here we find that when the Lord looked upon the harvest or looked upon people, he saw a gathering in or the possibility of gathering in for those that were already ready to be birthed or ready to be harvested. And he tells us here in Matthew, pray you therefore that the Lord of the harvest. That means he's the owner of it. That means he's the commander of it. Now, the word Lord there means he is the overseer. He is the overlord. He is the one that has control of the harvest. And he says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest or into his fields, because they're already ready to be gathered. They're ready to bring in, and they're laborers in his harvest. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he claimed lordship, and rightfully so. He is the only one that can claim that. There have been a lot of humans that have tried to claim, and a lot of humans that have tried to do certain things that make them overlords of people. There are those that have obtained abilities to reason out and to have understanding, and the mind has given them the possibility of having ability to comprehend certain things. And so many times they've come to knowledge, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. They have an understanding, but they have their whole basis. They build upon a wrong foundation. And I'm sure all of us heard about the scientist that died today and the condition he was in, and how that his mind, he said, I cannot speak, I cannot move, I cannot write, but my mind is free. But he was a strong propagator of billions of years ago, the Big Bang Theory of how everything came into existence. And he had a lot of knowledge, had a lot of individuality and understanding of certain things of physics, and probably much of what he had was correct and right, but he had a wrong foundation. And I dare say that as soon as he drew that last breath, he knew he was wrong, and he understood that. But you and I tonight, we serve a Lord that is never proven wrong. We serve a Lord that has the claim to Lordship over everything. The Scripture tells us in Colossians that all things was created by Him and for Him. Everything that Jesus made, He created for Himself. He created for His own business, His own good. He did it by His power, and He had a purpose behind this, because now we are His possession. We belong to Him by faith and by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:17 that all things consist by Him. That word consist means it continues to exist. We are here tonight, and this old world we call earth is still revolving on its axis and rotating, or revolving around the sun and rotating on its axis, all because God put it into motion, and all those things consist or continue to exist because of the power of God. He has a rightful claim to be Lord. He has a rightful claim to have that source of all life and that sustainer of His creation. He has all right to say that I am the Lord. I am that I am, He says. So He has claim over the creation. He has claim over His church. We don't have to go into all those things, how that the Lord started His church in His earthly ministry. He's the builder of it. He's the purchaser of it. He is the one that says that the church is His body. And so He is He's the Lord over that. And Lord, you and I over you and I. He's Lord of us, and He's our master. We are called by His grace. We have the Holy Spirit that indwells us, and we are His possession. So when the Lord of the harvest speaks, that means He has total authority that He can speak anything He so desires. And we can rest assured tonight that when the Lord speaks, He always speaks correctly. He always speaks right. He always speaks in that authority that is His through the Lord. Now in Matthew, the Scripture tells us, and this is another passage that is called the Great Commission. I guess Matthew is the most, probably the most familiar verses concerning the commission that's been given to the church. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, those are the verses that we quote, we use continually about going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And it tells us what to do, tells us how to do it. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Bible tells us here that He came and spake unto them, speaking about His disciples. Really, He was speaking to His church. And He says, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because of the power that's been given to Him. Now He says, go ye therefore. And it says, to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Here is the Lord speaking. Here is the Lord speaking to His church. And He says, all power or all authority has been given unto Me. And now He commands you and I as His people that we are to, whatever way is possible, We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. One of the things that I mentioned and used last Sunday night was that the Lord uses different churches in different ways. It's not always the way we do it that has to be the right way. There's a lot of ways of getting the gospel out. And I'm not talking about compromising what we believe or how we stand, but there are some churches that do things differently than I would do, but they still do the work of the Lord. And the Lord said, if they're not against us, they're for us, they're with us. And I know the church, and I know some things background, and there's some differences the way they do things. And that's fine, that's well and good, as long as we do something for the Lord. As long as we do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. But our Lord commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How do we do that? How can I go to all the world? How can I proceed to make the voice of the Lord Jesus heard when I'm just in a little location here in nowhere, Kentucky, and the world is out there multiplying abundantly over and over? We're now estimated 7.5 billion people in this world. It hasn't been but just a few months that we were talking about the world population had just gone over to the 7 billion part. Now we're at 7.5, and I don't believe it's been about a year since that took place. And so we are, our world's population is gradually, it's exploding. And we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That doesn't mean every portion of ground, but the world he is talking about here are people. People that have ears and people that have eyes, and they see and they see not. They hear and they hear not. They're so torn by tradition and religion, and they're torn by never hearing the gospel. And so the Lord commands us to go ye therefore. That word therefore is such a important. Jesus speaks to them and he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That word power is the word dynamos, or like what we get the word dynamite from. The word power also comes from authority. And so Jesus said, all power, all authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore. So that means we can go in his power. We can go in his actions and his way. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so there's the commission that he gives to us. He tells us to evangelize every nation. Evangelize. Send the gospel. The old song that's in our songbook, send the light, send the light. Send the glorious gospel light. That's what we do when we evangelize. We're sending the light of God's gospel so that men in darkness can see. So men that have their minds have been darkened by wickedness and by self-will and just never having the opportunity to hear the gospel, we're to send the light that gospel would shine into their heart and would have the ability to show them and to evangelize them that there is a God in heaven, and we're to teach all nations. We're to evangelize those folks and have the message given to us and to them. We're to list them as converts. The commission says not only do you evangelize, but when you evangelize, then you identify them. Let them have an identification. And that identification is in baptism. And that identifies us as a believer, as a Christian. And we do that under the authority of a local church. And we do that under the authority of the Word of God, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so we are given that commission to evangelize. We are given that commission to enlist. And we're given that commission to equip, teaching them to observe all things. Now that second word, teaching, here in Matthew 28 is not evangelism. The first teaching is telling. The second teaching, by context, we teach them to observe. That means we're we enlist them and we train them. We teach them to understand the Word of God. We teach them to do the same thing that we did and give others the opportunity. And that's what the commission is. Missions is not just around the world. It's not just way out there in the far distance plans that we'll never go to. But missions is maybe around our corner to tell somebody about the Lord and to give them the story of salvation. And so we have this equipment that God gives us that we are to teach them to observe all things. Now, what is that? Well, I think it's to teach them sound doctrine, what thus saith the Lord. There's a lot of voices out there tonight. If you don't believe me, just listen a little bit. There's a lot of voices telling people a lot of things. But this right here is what we need to go by. This right here is what we have. And so we teach converts to observe the things of the Word of God, all things of the Scripture, and to be obedient to the work of the Lord, to train them and to teach them to do what we know. I was saved at an early age, and I've been trained in my home church and other churches and in school. I've been trained to observe the things of the Word of God. And that's what every church ought to do for its people, is to train them. That's why we have teaching. That's why we have the observance of the Word of God to teach and to train us in the work of the Lord. That's the commission, and it's given to nobody else except the local New Testament church. So why do we do all of that? Why do we need a commander? Why do we need a Lord? He is the Lord of the harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. And the Lord said, look on the harvest fields. They're white already. They're ready to be gathered in. They're ready to be harvested. The reason we have that is because the harvest is full of lost individuals. The world is lost without God. The world around us is dying without the Lord. And so there is the lost. When the Lord looked upon the multitudes, the Bible says here that He was moved with compassion. He felt their needs. He knew their needs. Their imminent peril burdened His heart because He knew that if He had nobody to tell them, they would die without hope. He saw them as sheep that were scattered. He saw them as sheep out there that, as helpless as they are without a shepherd, that something would come and devour them. You know, it's a strange thing. The Lord, He identifies His people as His sheep. But when you study sheep, sheep are the dumbest animals that God ever created. They have no idea. They can't lead themselves. They can't hardly feed themselves without being led to it. They will not drink unless you get them to the water. David knew that. David wrote about that even in the 23rd Psalm. And so we find that the sheep are totally dependent upon their shepherd. Thank God my Bible tells me I know who my shepherd is. His name's Jesus. And He's the one that helps us. He's the one that leads us. But we need a shepherd because the world is in depravity. It's lost. People don't like to think too much about being depraved. When you're depraved, that means you are in bad shape. That means you have a real, real problem with nature and sin and life in general. The Bible tells us of the depravity of man. That means man is he's not getting bad, he is bad. I do accept and I do believe total depravity. And I believe man is totally depraved outside of the will of God. They can do nothing for themselves. It takes an awakening from the Spirit of God that makes them realize they need a Savior. They need a Lord. They need a shepherd. And that's our message that we tell. And that's the message of our missionaries. And so man is totally depraved. That means he's as bad as he can get. He can't get any worse. Ephesians 2 says he's dead in sins and trespasses. Now I've looked up that verse. I've tried to explain it and understand it in a different way. Ephesians chapter 2 says that that a man that is lost, a person that is lost, he is dead spiritually. That means he cannot come to God on his own. That means he doesn't have the ability to do that until he hears the gospel. Until his ears are awakened to the sound of the sweet gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is awakened to the Spirit of the Lord. And so Romans chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have both proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin." Here we find Paul is writing to the Roman people, and he's talking about the Jews. He says, are we better than they, or the Gentiles? Are they better than the Jew? Is the Jew better than the Gentile? You know, that there's a great controversy between Jews and Gentiles, and it still goes on today. But Paul says we're no better, and then the other one says we're all under sin. Verse 10 says, "It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." But be careful when somebody talks about a seeking sinner. That sinner's not going to seek after the Lord until God moves on his heart. And so he says, "None that seeketh after God." Verse 12, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one." Paul paints a pretty bleak picture of mankind. You know what Paul is telling us? They're totally depraved. Have no way of life outside of the Lord. Then he begins to describe them in verse 13. Down a few verses here, he says, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." You know what that describes? It describes a man without God. It describes a person, man, woman, boy, girl, without the Lord. And that's the possibility. That's where they're headed. They're depraved, and we must have a master. We must have a Lord. And he says in verse number 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." All these flags tonight represents millions, possibly even more, maybe even billions of people. And these things are written, and the Word of God is given, that we'll not have an excuse, that every mouth shall be stopped, that there is a Lord. And I believe God gives certain revelation, and man is responsible for the revelation that God gives him. And Paul says here that every mouth may be stopped. You know what that mouth he is referring to here is? A mouth of excuse. That every mouth will be stopped. And then he goes on and makes this statement, "And all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." All these folks that say, "Well, I keep the Ten Commandments." Well, that's number one lie. We can't keep the Ten Commandments. They're not given to keep, they're given to show us we can't keep them. The commandments are given to us to show us we must have somebody that did keep them, somebody that fulfilled the law. And here, Paul, as he writes to the Romans, he said, the deeds of the flesh, there shall no flesh be justified in the law. We're not saved by law. We're not saved by work. We're saved by the marvelous grace of God. Praise the Lord. "Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature, to every nation." Man's condition is that he's unrighteous. He's without righteousness. He's without understanding. He's without even interest. He doesn't seek after the Lord. and he's without use to God, they're all become unprofitable. I want to be profitable to the Lord, but the lost person is unprofitable, no profit at all. And the lost are there waiting in the fields for harvest. And if the Lord could say 2,000 years ago that, look on the fields, they're white unto harvest, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he may send laborers into his harvest. If the Lord could say that 2,000 years ago, how much more relevant it is today. How much more potent those words should be to us. Because don't say there's 4 months to harvest. Harvest is now. That's why we support missions. That's why we have missionaries come by. That's why we have people tell the gospel around the world. Because the harvest is already ready to be picked. I pray these next couple of Sundays that we have, that we will get a vision of not only the Dominican Republic and not only Brazil, not only the prisons and the Jew and everywhere else, but the Lord would give us a vision of the whole world lost without him, unprofitable. And the Lord said, I died that they might be saved. I went to Calvary that they might hear. But they're unprofitable to me right now because they haven't been brought in. We have the song in our songbook, bring them in from the fields of sin. And that's the missionary heart. And that ought to be the heart of every believer. That ought to be the heart of every church, to bring them in. The fields are white. May we go get that which the Lord permits us to have. He is Lord of the harvest. And we must have the Lord of the harvest because people are depraved, people are wicked, people are in sin, and they need to hear about Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, I don't think we ought to bother the Indian in his tradition. Well, his tradition may not be right, and his tradition may send him to hell. That's why we're told to tell. I don't believe we ought to interfere with the Hindu. I don't believe we ought to interfere with the Shinto. I don't believe we ought to interfere with the Buddhist. I don't believe we ought to interfere with all these religions because they're satisfied in them. Oh yeah, the devil's satisfied in them too. But the Lord told us to go into the world, preach the gospel. That's the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it all comes down to the bottom line, the gospel is none other than Jesus Christ. That's who it is. That's what it is. And we're commissioned and commanded to go and tell the world. We do that through our missionaries. We do that through our giving. We do that through their going to where the Lord has laid on their heart that they ought to go. All right, let's stand together.